study the Bible and how God's Word can change your life. I want to open the floor a little here after we pray and get you involved. I don't know what your normal style is, but I believe fellowship in the Word of God should be a little bit interactive. So let's just begin with a word of prayer. I should say another word of prayer. We've been praying a lot, but we should pray without ceasing. So I'm just going to go to the Lord. Lord, I just thank you for this wonderful congregation. I thank you for the joy of being here and fellowshipping with others who are in love with you, Lord. And we love you because you first loved us. So, Father, as we gather, we pray, I agree with Philip's prayer that you would empower us, that you would pour out your Spirit, and that you would open the eyes of our hearts and light our way with your word this morning. We thank you so much for the revelation of your word, that you have disclosed yourself to us through the Bible. And we pray that you'd give us a hunger for it right now, Lord. Cause us to hunger for your word. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's first just talk about the question of why people don't read the Bible or study the Bible. Can you think of some reasons, possibly?
It's complicated.
Okay, some people say it's too complicated. It's difficult to understand. It's only for the professionals, you know, right? People say, I'm just an ordinary person. How can I understand the Bible? I'm going to answer that question today. Okay. How about anybody else? Can you think of another reason why we don't always study or read the Word of God?
Busy.
Okay, we're busy. Okay. Too busy, I might mention. Too busy. So, in other words, we're bali bali. We're running, you know, back and forth doing things, and we don't have time for the Word of God. So, what does Jesus have to say about that? He said, if anyone desires to follow after me, he needs to lay down his life, to die to himself, and pick up the cross and follow him. He also rebuked the church in the book of Revelation, the church that had forgotten their first love. So we don't want to fall under the discipline of the Lord. We want to make sure that we don't get too busy to be fed by the Word of God. Now, how many of you in the last 7 days, how many of you have eaten food? All right, yeah, most everybody. Yeah, that's good. That's a little comprehension check, by the way, too. So, you know, we take very good care of our bodies, don't we? When we're hungry, we eat. When we're thirsty, we drink. It's a habit, right? We've gotten into the habit of eating and feeding ourselves. But what about the habit of feeding your soul, your spirit? I want to encourage you to make it a habit, make it a practice. How many of you have a planner, like, you know, daily planner? Suchup, is it? Or memo jang or something? Yeah, plana. Okay. Yeah, I have one. So let me see. How many of you have a planner? All right, many of you do. If you're having trouble with making time for the Word of God, then write it down. Make yourself a sticky note and stick it on your eyeglasses. I mean, on your mirror or something. You know, it's time with Jesus. Okay, read the Word. If it weren't for this book, would you know how to pray? Would you know how to praise God without the book? We wouldn't know. There's always man's way of doing things. But what about God's way? We need the book. We need to study the Word. So make sure that you make it a priority in your life. It's good when you wake up in the morning. I think it's good to start with the Word and with worship, and even before you put some food in your mouth, you know, just get a cup of water and start with the Lord, and then as you get hungry, you're thinking, "Ooh, I'm hungry," then think about your spirit is hungry too. Some of us are never hungry. We always, munching or something. So we never experience physical hunger. But it's easy for us to recognize that, but it's not easy to recognize our spiritual hunger. Well, how about any other ideas or thoughts on why people don't read the Bible or study the Bible? Okay, some people say it's boring. Now, actually, if you have ever thought that the Word of God was boring, then it's just a problem of knowing how to read the Word. And I'm going to answer that problem today. Some people just don't know how to study the Bible, and some people have said, well, I know how to study it, but I think prayer is more important. What is prayer? Mainly, it's talking to God, isn't it? But are you going to let God speak? Really, you know, The proverb says, when you come into the presence of a king, be quiet. Let your words be few and listen to him, you see. Are you studying Matthew? Is that our congregation in Seoul is also studying Matthew? I see the kingship of Jesus, and I saw Pastor Huh's sermon a few weeks ago was on Matthew. Are you all going through Matthew? Yeah, that's great. Well, here we are seeking to worship the King. Sometimes we talk too much. Prayer is very good, but we've got to listen too. So I want to encourage you to get into the Bible more and more. Some people have tried and they've lost their motivation. It's understandable, but in the back there, I emailed Aaron some Bible reading plans. So there's three different styles here, and you can find one that will work for you, okay? But I just want to encourage you to if you were a good Bible reader and you've kind of dropped out of not faithful anymore, I want to encourage you to get back to it. Try again. And I hope that what I have to share today will help you to be motivated and get back to the Word. All right. So today I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles, or you can use this first page of the bulletin. Does that channel have a high pass filter? You can just push a button. There should be a button near the top that will, it's like a pop filter, you know. Anyway. All right, I want you to be able to to hear me clearly, and so I adjusted the mic for my own voice. All right, now I have a different translation. I have the New King James, but it's okay. We can use the NIV. It's just that I have to make room for this here, and I will read from the New International Version. Now we're going to, as you see on your bulletin, we're going to read from Nehemiah chapter 8. So if you're opening your Bibles, you can do that and get ready to read Nehemiah chapter 8. While we're doing that, how many of you enjoy history? Yeah, yaksa, nugu choa hamnika, yaksa. Okay, when I was young, I hated history. I never wanted to hear about the past. I was a science major, and I only wanted to think about the future, you know. And mire, you know, that's all I cared about. But when I became a Christian, I began to see the importance of the past and to enjoy reading the history of God's people. So if you have an understanding of the Jewish people, God made them into a nation from one man. Do you know the name of that man? Yeah, okay. Abraham, or Ibrahim, you know. In Abraham, God in Genesis chapter 12, God blessed him, and he said, you will be a blessing to all the families of the earth. And so it is that Abraham has become a blessing to all the earth through Jesus Christ. Well, the Jewish people, the Hebrews, sometimes they followed God and sometimes they disobeyed God, and God punished them. And as a result of their disobedience, they were captured and driven out of the land that God gave them, out of the land of Israel and Judah. So they were scattered in other nations. In the Assyrians attacked the northern kingdom, and then 100 and some years later, the Babylonians attacked Jerusalem and Judah. And so in 586 years before Jesus, the temple in Jerusalem was totally destroyed, and the people were taken captive to Babylon. Well, the Babylonians were conquered by the Medes and the Persians. The Persians, they were merciful to the captured people, and they said, you can go back and rebuild your temple in Jerusalem. So in the Old Testament, we have two books. One is Ezra and one is Nehemiah, and they were at one time one book. But now in our Bibles, they are separated, Ezra, then Nehemiah. In these two books, we find the story of three groups of people who returned to Jerusalem, to the promised land, to what we call the Holy Land today. So I want to encourage you, if you like history, to read the books of Ezra and Nehemiah together. But I'm just going to give you a few points. The first return, a man named Zerubbabel brought back some people, and they began to worship God in Jerusalem. They restored the worship. And then they began to rebuild the temple. It was not a glorious temple like Solomon's temple. The Babylonians destroyed Solomon's temple. But it was a humble little place where they could worship God, and they began to build this. And then they had enemies who stopped them, but God blessed them and allowed them to rebuild that temple. Then another man came who was a priest and a scribe and a prophet, and that was Ezra. And so Ezra came, and he began to teach and preach the word of God to people there, and they began to repent of their sins, and they developed a worshiping community of people. There were over 40,000 people at that time in Jerusalem. And so, but the walls around the city were still broken down because of the Babylonians had destroyed everything. So they had worship, they had a little temple, but the enemies were attacking them and disrupting their lives and bringing them into so much heartache. So when this news reached Nehemiah, he was brokenhearted and he wept and he asked God, you know, if he could go. And so Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem. So Nehemiah's return, he brought some people with him. That was the third group that came back to Jerusalem. So now we come to the book of Nehemiah, and I want you to just look back in chapter 7 at verse 66. Nehemiah 7. Oh, it's not in your bulletin, okay? But I'll just read it to you. If you don't have a Bible, I'll read it. Listen. It says, altogether, the whole assembly was 42,360 people beside their servants, and there were singers also, okay? So just so you have the idea that there's more than 40,000 people there. Okay. Now I'm going to read to you the 8th chapter of Nehemiah. I know it's a little different than your style, but if you'll endure with me, let me... Okay. Nehemiah chapter 8. Oh, let me just mention, in the last verse of chapter 7, it says that the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, the temple servants, all the people, all the rest of the Israelites settled in their own towns. So there were little villages around Jerusalem there, and these people were living there. And when the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, now we go to chapter 8, all the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. Take note of that. All who were able to understand. So there were some younger people too. There were men, there were women, there were teenagers, maybe some preteens that were able to understand. All the little crying babies were probably in the nursery, you know. Yeah, but everyone who could come came together. So this would be thousands of people, tens of thousands of people. Verse 3. Ezra read it aloud from daybreak. Sebiok, right? Sebiok Esau. From daybreak until noon. Yoldushi Kaji. All right? He read for hours and hours. He read it aloud as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform built for this occasion. Beside him on his right stood Mattathiah, Shema, Anaiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah. And on his left were Pedaiah, Mishael, Malchijah, Hashum, Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They got down on the ground and they worshiped God. These people, they were impacted by this moment. It had been a long time since they had heard or even seen the book of the law. So they were moved powerfully to humble themselves and to listen. They were like starving people or famished people who find water, clean water. They got down on their face like to drink the water, oh, in the desert. So, we continue here. Verse 7 says, the Levites, Jeshua, or Yeshua, would be the Hebrew pronunciation, Yeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, and Peliah, they instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. Now, there were actually more Levites. These are just the leaders, okay? There were actually dozens and dozens of Levites spread all over, probably spread throughout the crowd. And if someone said, I don't understand, then that man could say, Let me explain it to you, all right? So in the translation, I'm using New King James. It says the names of those men, but then it says, and the Levites, okay? So in this translation, it's clear that there were more men. Among the 40,000 people, there were more people that could explain. Could be hundreds of them. All right, let's look at verse 8. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for this is a sacred day. Do not grieve." Apparently, people were crying out deep, deep cries of agonizing grief when they heard the word, thinking, "Oh God, how long have we been living without this light in our lives, without this food for our spirit?" So the Levites were calming the people down. Then verse 12, all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food and kimchi, right? Call the tech bay. "I'm sending you some kimchi," right? I don't make kimchi, so my Korean friends send me kimchi at Kimjang, yeah. But that's what they did. They sent some portions of food to others who didn't have any. They told them, and they went out to celebrate with great joy because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. You see that in verse 12, okay? The first thing is the reading of the word. The next thing is explaining the word. What does it mean? Okay? So first, you need to know, what did God say? All right? That's your job. Your job. As a Christian, you need to open the Bible and read it, okay? You don't have to be, a theologian, all right? You don't have to be an expert Bible teacher. You just need to say, "God, I love you. I want to hear your voice," and open up the Bible and read. If you're reading and you don't understand something, then you can go to your pastors or to the deacons or elders in your church. The Bible says the deacons are supposed to be able to teach. So may all you deacons get prepared. So we, after reading and observing what God has to say, we need to understand it. And that's what the Levites did for the people. They explained everything. So Take a look at verse 13. Chapter 8, verse 13. On the second day of the month, the heads of all the families, along with the priests and the Levites, gathered around Ezra the scribe to give attention to the words of the law. All right, so you, husbands and fathers, raise your hands. Who's a father? Who's a husband? Okay, you men are the heads of your family. You also need to gather around the Word of God and give attention to the Word of God. You men are the pastors of your own families. It's God has given you that privilege and responsibility to feed your family in not only physically, but spiritually. So, verse 14, they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded through Moses, that the Israelites were to live in booths during the feast of the seventh month. Okay? So, they were supposed to build a little shelter. Now, I know in Korean history, a long time ago, you would go out into the forest or something, and you could build a little shade, right? Kind of a, what do you call that? Okay, I'm having trouble hearing you, but you know what I'm talking about, okay? Just a little place for you to rest in the shade. And so they would just take some branches and some grass and make a shade covering, okay? Similar to a little booth or like a little tent that they set up for an outdoor sale, right? Okay, so they found that it was commanded, there was a certain feast called the Feast of Tabernacles, and that's what they were to do, to make these little booths. So, what did they do? They read about it, it was explained to them. Did they say, oh, okay, now I understand. Well, see y'all later. Bye. Did they stop after observing what way they were to do? After understanding what God wanted them to do? Was that the end of it? No. The third step, they did what God said. They applied the word to their lives. So, they found, verse 14, they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded through Moses that the Israelites were to live in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim this word and spread it throughout their towns and in Jerusalem. Go out into the hill country and bring back branches from olive and wild olive trees, and from myrtles, palms, and shade trees to make booths, as it is written. So the people went out and they obeyed God. They brought back branches and built themselves booths on their own roofs or in their courtyards or in the courts of the house of God, that would be the temple, and in the square by the water gate, and by the one by the gate of Ephraim. So all over the place, people were making these little temporary houses, okay? A little temporary shelter. Verse 17, the whole company that had returned from exile, okay? In other words, from Babylon or other places where they had been scattered, the whole company that had returned from exile built booths and lived in them. Again, this would be more than 40,000 people, something like, 8,000 families. From the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated it like this, and their joy was very great, okay? Day after day, from the first day to the last, Ezra read from the book of the law of God. They celebrated the feast for 7 days, and on the eighth day, in accordance with the regulation, there was an assembly, okay, another gathering. Now, I'm not going to take you into chapter 9, but I hope that you'll read on. I hope that you'll read the whole book of Ezra and Nehemiah. You can do it this afternoon, really. It only takes maybe about an hour and a half to read both books. But sometime I hope you'll read it. So let's just restate what we've seen here in chapter 8. In verse 1, we saw that the people requested God's word. They asked for God's word, okay? They told Ezra, bring out the book, okay? In other words, they had a hunger for the word of God. They didn't come to their pastor and say, oh, pastor, not that boring thing again. They didn't come to church and say, can't you cut it down to 30 minutes, pastor, please. No, 20 minutes, pastor. They were there from 5 o'clock in the morning until 12. They listened for 7 hours without even sitting down. You get to sit down. I have to keep on standing up, right? It's okay. But so we see that the first thing is that the people made a time and a place for the word of God. They came together at this time, and they asked for the word. You and I, we have time scheduled to eat, to sleep. We have time scheduled to, have fun, recreation, suyung, or whatever, Do you have time scheduled for God's word? I want to challenge you today. Make a time and a place every day for the word of God, to listen to God. In verse 3, we see that the people concentrated their hearing. It says that they listened attentively. It wasn't like this. See? They were like this. They were like, oh, what did he say? What did he say? They were listening. They were trying to catch. They were attentive. We call this active listening. Pay attention. Focus. How about if Jesus Christ came into this room, would you fall asleep listening to him? No. Would you be chattering to your neighbor? Oh, today I want to go to the baseball game afterwards. Yeah. No, you wouldn't be. Oh, did you see what happened on Scandal last night? You wouldn't be. No. If Jesus came and spoke here, you would be listening attentively. I want to challenge you. Uninstall those apps. Get rid of your MP3 or whatever it is that keeps you away from Jesus, that keeps you from listening to the word of God. The internet is like an addiction. It's like alcohol to some people. Like, oh, I just can't. It's so interesting, Live your own life. You don't need to live somebody else's life. Oh, Did you hear about the movie star? No, never mind. Pray for those people. Tomorrow they'll be on the end of a rope. Is that where you want to go? No. God has a plan for your life. Find out about it. Get into the Word. So they opened the book, it says in verse 5. I'm just going to touch on what we've read today. He opened the book. You have a Bible. Open it. You want to know how to start to get close to God? Open the book. That's the first thing. Many times people just think, oh, it's so big. I don't know where to start. Start in the beginning. Start with Genesis. Read Genesis. Then go to the New Testament. Start with Matthew. If you don't want to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then go to Acts, okay? Then to Romans. By the time you get through the book of Romans, you'll be hungry to find out what the rest of the Bible says. Okay, so look, what have we learned here? We learned that the teachers, in verse 8, the teachers read from the book of the law, making it clear. All right, now, I have talked to some people who said, my pastor, he's the best in Korea. And I say, wow, that's great. Really? How do you know that? Well, I can't understand anything he says. He's so smart. It's just, I can't understand it. What? That's not the right way to teach. We need to teach clearly. Make it clear. Now, we have the same kind of pastors in America, so don't get me wrong. We have these pastors in America, and they come from the seminary, the Shinhagdaagwon, and for 3 years or 5 years, they have been doing their sukje, their homework, give to the kyosa. And so when they get to the church, they're still talking to the kyosa. Uh-huh. We need to talk to the people, right? Make it plain, make it clear. That's what Ezra and the Levites did. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. I'm sure your pastor is doing this. I love Pastor Ha, and he and I are actually, you might think, because we have different skin color, you might not know that, we're twin brothers. When we were born, we were separated, and then we met again in 2007. We are very close friends, and I know that he's a good Bible teacher. So, you're in good hands. Well, what else have we learned? Okay, the teachers, they caused the people to understand. A teacher's responsibility is to cause the students to understand. If you're a teacher and your students are getting bad grades, whose fault is that? It's the teacher's responsibility to cause learning. All right, and then notice in verses 9 and 10, the people, when they heard the word, they started weeping. And Ezra said, and the Levites said, don't mourn, don't weep. Today is a wonderful day. It's a day to celebrate. So we see that the people, at first, they got the wrong idea. And so the teachers gently corrected them. And that's what we need to do. We need teachers who are willing to say, you got the wrong idea. Here's the right way to go. So God's word can change your life if you open the book, if you read the book, if you understand the book. God's word can change your life. How did it change their lives? At first they were sad, then they rejoiced. When they understood it correctly, they rejoiced. It changed their heart, and it changed their behavior. They found out that God wanted them to get out of their house, out of their, you know, security, and God wanted them to live in a little straw hut. Why? So that they could remember that this world is not their home, all right? Too many of us, we have our car, we have our house or something like that. I don't have a car, by the way, but we have so much security, all right? And we forget that this world is not our home. So God's word can change your life if you read the word, if you understand the word, and if you do the word, right? God wants us to be doers of the word. Now, in verses 13 through 18, we find that the people came back for a second day. They didn't just say, "Oh, that was nice, but I'm full. Pebulaya. I don't want any more." No, they were still hungry. They came back the second day, and that day, the fathers, the heads of the family, they realized their responsibility, okay? So I want to encourage you, men, husbands or future husbands. If you're a future husband, you also need to know the Word of God. Prepare yourselves for your family, and God will give you a family. Well, I want to just close by reminding you that that God really does want to speak to you. He has been speaking for thousands of years. The revelation of God is complete. The book is closed, and we have everything we need for life and godliness. If you have a Bible, I would like you to open to 2 Peter, Pedro Huso, Iljang. Second Peter, chapter 1. This is a letter from Peter. He sent out to believers. I'm going to read verses 2 through 4 if you want to. Second Peter, chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, let me switch to the New International, sorry. Okay. 2 Peter 1, okay. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Doesn't that sound good to you? To escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires? We all have desires that rise up inside us, and we have to say no to those evil desires. We have to say yes to Jesus. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. When we come to know God, that's when we're going to have victory over sin. You need to open the book. You need to read the book. You need to understand the book. You need to obey the book. And then you'll have a beautiful life. Maybe your life will be troublesome. I have had many troubles myself. I've been a Christian for 35 years. I've been electrocuted. I've been hit by a truck. Not just once, but several times. I was hit by a snowmobile, thrown into the air. I've had all kinds of terrible things happen to me, okay? I was abused as a child, not by my father, but by someone that the family trusted, and I went on a trip, and that person took advantage of me. But God has given me victory over all of those troubles in my life, and now I know there's a life ahead of me that I read about in here, a life with no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more death, no more pain. That's what we have revealed when we open the book. So please, as you go out today, I want to encourage you to pick up a schedule, a Bible reading schedule, and get started. Some of you might even have in your Kidokyoin, chups, suchup, right? Is that right? Am I saying the right word, suchup? Kind of planner. Sometimes the Christian planners even have a Bible reading thing in the back. You can just check off the ones that you read. Go for it. God bless you.
Amen. Well, would you please stand for the hymn, which is...